This is Money Talk.
Our money is your money. We print it for you to use.
America's most trusted advisor on money matters for 25 years. Now, Bob Brinker.
And Bob is taking a well-deserved day off. My name's Tom Baker. I'm sitting in for him. And in this hour, we have a very interesting guest. We've had him on before, and I just like his range of knowledge and the fact that I've known him for a long time, doing stories with him all through the recession and since then, and talking about every imaginable issue that you talk about when you're doing news stories on the economy and investing and all of that kinds of stuff, which I do very frequently. Terry Conley is the former dean of the Ugino School of Business at Golden Gate University. Unlike most universities, which operate 9 months out of the year and have a summer session, at best maybe, Terry's school is a 12-month a year school, which is very nuts and bolts, teaches people not just the theory, but how to actually get things done. That's true of the law school there and of the business school and all the schools that they have there. He's also a former Wall Street attorney and a former Wall Street investment banker, and we welcome Terry Conley to the show. Terry, welcome.
Great to be here. Thanks very, very much. Look forward to it.
Okay, now, looking at the markets, Dow Jones, 394 points down, 2.13%. The S&P 500 on Friday down 53 points, 2.45%. And NASDAQ, the high-tech heavy market, down 2.54%, 133 points. What do you make of that?
Well, I would say, first of all, that you can't attribute all of that to nervousness about the 9/11 anniversary weekend. Most of it was nervousness about what the Federal Reserve Board, when it meets next week, is going to do about interest rates, and a concern that the market had been, you know, one of those kind of, I could get a scene in one of those horror movies that says, well, we've been too quiet for too long, and you get a couple of people giving some talks before the market opened and while the market was open that scared investors out of their complacency that the Federal Reserve was still on hold and that the rather inexpensive money they've been providing for a number of years here will continue to help keep a prop under the stock market. I'm not sure the market was right. I'm not sure the market didn't overreact, but be that as it may, that's what happens sometimes, and it happened this year. It's happened before in September. We can talk about that too, but we'll have some interesting questions tomorrow morning because there are going to be some more Fed Reserve speakers.
What's interesting about this, of course, is that a 400-point drop or close to a 400-point drop at the 18,000 level isn't anywhere near what a 400-point drop would be at much lower levels. Is a 2% adjustment or 2.5% adjustment all that significant, or is that well within the range of things we ought to expect? Because it appears as though the stock market in many recent years has been a pogo stick on an up elevator, up and down, up and down, but constantly climbing up.
We hadn't had a 1% move in the S&P 500 stocks, which is, of course, 500, a lot broader than the Dow Jones 30. We hadn't had a move more of 1% in over 7 weeks. So that's what I meant about my too quiet for too long sort of comment. And to see a 2% move when you get a jolt, which we had, and the European Central Bank was also involved in that, is not that unusual. What it raises is the question, is this, you know, kind of are the brakes off? Are we heading downhill from here? Or is this just an overreaction on a Friday when not everybody is back from vacation? And so forth, because there was a lot of what the traders would even call wild selling that this particular Friday, in that, you know, investors were taking profits but also selling everything else. And we'll have to see this week about whether the Federal Reserve speaking will further jolt the market. The good news is tomorrow is the last day they speak before their meeting next week. They at least shut themselves off for the week prior to one of their meetings. And the Fed has been sort of debating in public about what to do about rates for the last several weeks, and that's sort of built up in the market, and Friday it all let loose.
What kind of impact would a quarter percent move, most likely be a quarter percent move, what impact would that have in your view?
Well, in terms of sort of real money, a quarter point raise, which would still keep the rates significantly below 1%, doesn't look like all that much. On the other hand, if it signals the beginning of a tightening round where money is going to get more expensive gradually or otherwise, most people think gradually, means that there's been a turn. And when you get a turn, investors, particularly on the institutional side, and particularly if they've been surprised, are going to kind of hold off everything for a while and see where things lay and take stock and all those other fancy words, meaning keep their hands in their on their wallets. And you could get a kind of a buyer strike, and you could get some kind of selling panic emerge from that. That being said, the reason, if the Federal Reserve raises, is because they're going to believe and they're going to have data to support the fact that the economy is, frankly, getting better, maybe getting a lot better in terms of gross domestic product, maybe in terms of wages and so forth, and that actually there's something to cheer about in the performance of American business, and you will get then perhaps a turnaround. So we're going to have to wait and see if that plays through. But in any event, people should not panic over a quarter of a point interest rates, even if the markets appear to do so for a couple of days or maybe even a couple of weeks.
You know, it's interesting. I was taking a look at my 401k, and it says that as of 8/31, now that's a few days ago, for the year, and I have a blended account, which is to say the risk is spread out fairly evenly. I'm not real aggressive, nor am I very specific, because when you do the kind of reporting I do, you don't want to be trying to, you know, talk your own book, as you like to say. So I really don't have much idea what's in there other than it's a big spread. But I will tell you, it's really interesting. As of 8/31/2016, my 401k is up 6.71% for the year. And what's interesting about that is that even if you take away a couple of points, which I don't know that you could in this, but if you do, even took away a couple of points, we're now at still almost 5% gain for the year, which compared to bank rates ain't too bad.
Especially today compared to bank rates. No, you should close up shop and go home for the year if you could, but we can't do that. So we're going to have to keep watching these developments. That tomorrow there is in the afternoon, our time and in New York time, there's a very major speaker from the Fed tomorrow. Major, I would say, because she's known as a so-called dove on interest rates, namely someone who has counseled patience to be sure the economy is moving ahead with a head of steam before the Fed makes that turning motion, that decision that now we're going to start another round of tightening of money. And she speaks tomorrow. Her name is Leo Brainard, and she's a member of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. And if she turns to someone who says, you know, it's time is now for interest rate increases, that's going to have another profound effect on the markets, and I expect bond interest rates will rise, the value of bonds will fall, and the stock market will have another bad day. On the other hand, if she stays true to form, we might get a little calm in the waters here.
Let me ask you this. So if the interest rate goes up a quarter of a percent, is that immediately echoed in things, for example, such as mortgage rates, or does it take a little time? How does it work?
It depends on what happens to the 10-year money, and to some degree, it also happens, most consumer loans are not based on U.S. Treasuries are based on the interbank lending rate, so-called LIBOR. And that's been going up for months, mostly because of a shortage of money market funds. And so consumers may feel a pinch in some of their adjustable consumer loans or even eventually credit card loans because those rates have been moving up. Mortgage rates have been pretty steady to down for a while in here. I think the last I saw was 3.44 for a 15-year fixed. Those you can expect to go up because the 10-year rate for treasuries went up significantly on Friday. It had been down about 1.5, 1.54, something like that. It ended Friday 1.67. That's a big leap. And we may see that translated in the near term, if it holds, to the 10-year rate. And that would affect mortgages in due course. But the Fed is not interested at this point in time, I can say this with assurance, in putting on the brakes in the economy. What they're interested in doing is normalizing interest rates to a level that would be typical of what you and I have seen in our lifetime. And 0% or near zero is just not what we've seen in our lifetime for a period stretching half a dozen years or so, and that's what we've been having. We've been in an abnormal period. The trick is, how do you get back to a normal period without panicking people?
Let me ask you this before we go to the break. And folks, if you want to get involved in this, please call 1-800-934-2221, 1-800-934-2221. Ask Terry anything you want about this. What about this concept in Japan of negative interest rates? Talk to me about that and what that means.
Well, the Fed certainly doesn't want to go there. The situation in Europe and the situation in Japan where they've introduced negative rates has not produced the surge in borrowing and investments in the private sector that had been anticipated. This is not to say, you know, it's always hard on the counterfactual. What would have happened if they hadn't gone to that extreme, so to speak, in terms of monetary policy? We really don't know. Deflation in both those sectors of the world might have gotten worse. But I think they've reached or are sensing that they've reached the limits on that policy's effectiveness. The Federal Reserve leadership has made it quite clear that that not only are negative interest rates in the U.S. a last resort, they may not be any resort. The Fed would prefer to do other things, even go back to bond buying, rather than experimenting with negative rates at this point in the economy. And there's no data in the economy right now which would justify that sort of thing. So I think it's important for investors to put that concern off to the side. Fed's not going there anytime soon or anytime at all, probably.
Okay, the number to call, 1-800-934-2221. My name's Tom Bakar, sitting in for Bob Brinker, who will be back next week. And this is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
Ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Bad breath and bad gas.
Petey stopped eating. All his hair fell out.
Itching, licking, missing fur.
At least $5,000 in vet bills.
Creams, antibiotics, sprays.
No results.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Dinovite. .com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
Her coat is not soft. It's silky. It's healthy and shiny and glossy.
She's got life. She's got energy.
Tons of energy. No more bad smell.
Dynavite's the bomb.
Dynavite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite for life.
Dinovite. .com.
This is Charles Osgood. Go down the pain relief aisle, and you'll see a lot of different pain relievers. But have you tried Salonpas Deep Relieving Gel? It is fast-melting, quick-absorbing, penetrating deep relief, perfect for sore muscles or joints. Salonpas Deep Relieving Gel has three powerful active ingredients that work for up to 8 full hours. In fact, nothing else you can buy is proven stronger or more effective against pain. Look for the tall blue box next to the Salonpas patches. Salonpas Deep Relieving Gel.
It started at Bunko Night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Hey guys, Dr. Drew. I want to talk to you about New Method Wellness. It's Orange County's premier addiction treatment center. They offer individualized treatment programs catering to each client's needs. In addition to drug treatment, they can handle dual diagnosis for co-occurring disorders such as mood disorders, bipolar, depression, generalized anxiety disorder. They have a well-trained, compassionate staff with over 300 years of collective sobriety amongst them. In addition to standard therapies, New Method offers holistic therapy for clients, including outdoor therapy, equine therapy, art therapy, acupuncture, and more. They put their emphasis where it counts, on extended aftercare and connecting patients with their alumni. They have extensive alumni programs, which provides long-term sobriety tools and a stable, sober community for all of their clients. And you will not be disappointed by the environment and the amenities. If you or someone you know needs help, call New Method Wellness at 844-35-SOBER. That is 844-35-SOBER. Or go to newmethodwellness.com/Dr. Drew. New Method Wellness, not your usual treatment center.
Let's sweat the big stuff. The things that really matter, like finding cures. Join City of Hope's endurance and fitness team participating in the Trick or Try, presented by Performance Bike on Saturday, October 29th, and support groundbreaking research and treatment for cancer, diabetes, and other life-threatening diseases. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul. Join the team today by registering at hopesweatcures.org. That's hopesweatcures.org.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. With one phone call, you'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. It's a free service, so call now.
800-391-1755. 800-391-1755.
This is Money Talk.
And this is Tom Bakar sitting in for Bob Rick, who will be back next week. I'm sitting here with Terry Conley by phone, who is the former dean of the business school at Golden Gate University, former investment banker and lawyer. And we are now joined by Jim in Fairbanks, Alaska. Jim, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I heard you mention something about a lack of money market investments in something. What was that you said, Terry?
We're talking about this, what's called the London Interbank Offer Rate, which is the
LIBOR.
LIBOR. And because of changes in the U.S. money market going back to the crash, some of the, it's just simple supply and demand. There isn't as much money available for borrowing on an overnight basis, simply put, as there used to be. And
banks have been bid up for their
overnight loans.
Yeah. Could I get your opinion of the new SEC policy in which companies like Fidelity, Vanguard, et cetera, are going to have to use their money market funds to now purchase government bonds, government debt? 99.5% of that will have to be put into those type of debt instrument.
That's right, because they also, that is the deal that they made with the government in order to be able to advertise those funds that if you put a buck in, you get a buck out. Okay, in other words, to effectively guarantee you'll get a dollar back for every dollar you put in. During the crash, some funds, what they call, broke the buck in the sense of they had invested in commercial paper of companies, including financial institutions. And that's short-term money, but it's 30, 60, 90 day. And some of those financial institutions couldn't pay that, make their payments. And so the money markets funds could not be redeemed on a face value dollar for dollar. So that's why the SEC said no more. You've got to go with the safest instruments in terms of treasuries. And otherwise, we won't let you say that if you put a dollar in, you're going to get a dollar out. And that has made, that has shrunk the money market business to some degree. On the other hand, We had to put in some, taxpayer money to save some of these folks last time, and this is all part of the ethos that let's not bail out financial instruments or financial institutions.
Yeah, but Terry, that's phase one of this mm-hmm. program. Phase two are fees and gates, they're calling it. Fees being charged, which is a negative interest rate, you're being charged for your money to be kept in a money market account. Also, you could, under certain circumstances, be not allowed or disallowed from redeeming your funds if the government so chooses. Is that
That's right. They put in it's sort of like you have in the stock exchange. And I'm not necessarily defending this, I'm just, because I understand
right.
how this affects people who are involved in the money market as investors.
Right.
But it's like, sometimes in the stock market, when you have a sharp fall in either the whole market or in particular stocks, you have a freeze. You can't get in or out, and mostly you can't get out. And it's just like it happens sometimes with hedge funds that at sort of the upper levels of investment, which say, hey, we know you put this money to us and we told you you could redeem it at any time, but not now. We'll invoke this emergency clause. So what they've done is set up an emergency clause in advance that says, look, under certain circumstances in the market, you won't be able to get your money out directly. But the reason we do that is because if we let everybody take them out, those funds are going to fail. And if they fail, we're all in trouble, including you, because you won't be able to get your money out in any event because there'll be a run on the fund.
Yeah,
thank you for your call, Jim. I really appreciate it. We're going to have to move on because we're coming up against the break. You're listening to Terry Conley, a former dean of the Golden Gate University School of Business and a former Wall Street banker and attorney. And when we return, we're going to take more of your calls at 1-800-934-2221. And what we will do is we will continue talking about these other issues that are big issues. They don't necessarily relate to one specific instrument or anything else. But honestly, these are some of the big picture things that you have to keep in mind when we think about where we are actually going with our investments in a time of heavy politics and in a time of a lot of concern on the part of a lot of people about what's going on in the economy, even though the economy does seem to be moving along at least a rational pace as opposed to not moving at all. The number to call, 1-800-934-2221. This is Money Talk.
This is Money Talk.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
The standard run-of-the-mill tests and treatments.
Cortisone.
Antihistamine.
Multiple creams.
Antibiotic spray.
Multiple prescriptions.
Steroid injections.
Topical sprays.
The sharp antibiotics.
Steroid cream.
No results.
It was neglect. The other owners didn't care enough about him to take care of him and to give him the nutrition he needed.
A nutritional supplement like Dynavite.
To be the healthy, happy dog he is today.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Put some nutrition in your dog. The vet that I trust recommended Dynavite. The dog I have today, because of Dynavite, has a sparkle in his eye, a lush coat, healthy skin.
When you rescue a dog, you've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite will make your dog a happy dog.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Sam Nation, now weeknights at 7 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Breaking down the events of the day, bringing you the content that no one else talks about. Sam Nation weeknights, 7 p.m. You've got to listen.
Staying healthy is difficult. You've got health questions, I've got health answers. I'm Dr. Bob Martz, and tune into my show Sunday morning at 10, right after The Motorman. Sponsored by Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics and Chia Omega at finer health food stores.
Not available in all states.
Whoa, what do you have there?
It's a Reese's Irvy's frozen yogurt. We just had our robot make one.
A robot made your frozen yogurt?
Yes, the world's first fully interactive robot vending machine that serves 9 flavors of delicious yogurt with 6 amazing toppings. And it's available for an exclusive franchise opportunity.
How do I get my own Reese's Irvy's robots?
It's easy, but you better act now. Locations and machines are going fast. Just go to froyofranchising.com and enter promo code 3030. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 3030.
What is it about buying a mattress that leaves you feeling violated? Pushy salespeople, fake sales, the walk of shame out of the mattress store? Those days are over. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, co-founder of Helix Sleep, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Shipping is free, and you have 100 nights to try it out. Go to helixsleep.com/talkradio and get $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
I'm Paul George of the Indiana Pacers. When I was 6, my days were spent playing basketball. When I was 6, my dream was to make it to the NBA. When I was 6, my mom had a stroke. So I want you to learn to spot a stroke fast. F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. I'm Paul George. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
My name is Tom.
My name is Cindy.
We give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
We know our time and money are going to the right places.
We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Only in the forest can you see this. And this. And this. But nothing beats the moment you see that.
Cool!
That's your child's eyes opening up to a world of possibilities.
I didn't know it could do that!
Because one trip to the forest can spark a world of difference.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, canoeing, fishing, or camping. Or create your own adventure with family and friends, and you might just see this. Your moment's out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The KABC Friday Night Special returns with everyone's favorite Baldwin.
Oh my God, Alec Baldwin?
Nope, not Alec. It's actually...
Don't tell me. I know. It's Steven, isn't it?
No, it's not Steven.
Oh, no. It's Daniel, isn't it?
No, it's Billy.
No, I love Billy.
Billy Baldwin hosts the KABC Friday Night Special. Friday night, 8 to 10. No subject is off limits. And you never know who might be stopping by.
Could it be Alec?
Come on.
The KABC Friday Night Special with guest host Billy Baldwin. Friday night at 8 on 790 KABC. Home of the smartest listeners in Southern California. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Money Talk.
And this is Money Talk with Bob Brinker. He's taking the day off. My name's Tom Bakar. Honored, as usual, to be asked to host the show. And with me, Terry Conley, former dean of the Golden Gate University Business School and former Wall Street banker and lawyer. And we are going to go right to the phones, Terry, with Jim in Wichita, Kansas, who I think has a great question. Jim.
My question is, without ifs or buts, I want to know the gentleman's opinion as to whether he thinks the market, the main issue is that the market is overvalued.
What about it, Terry? Is the market overvalued?
In my judgment, without ifs or buts, no. But that can be, I mean, that's what makes markets. Somebody else is going to say yes. And you have to honor that opinion as well as my own. And I think we're going to most of the judgment calls that people make, including myself, about whether the market's overvalued, turn out to be opinion about future directions of the economy. So why would I say yes? Because the highly respected Federal Reserve Office of Atlanta, which runs a check on where GDP is going based on their knowledge of the, you know, inside knowledge, of, if you will, the numbers, not secrets, but the way they think about them, says the economy right now is pumping along at what's going to show up as a 3% rate for this quarter. Bear in mind that the economy has been growing at barely a 1% rate for the last year, for the last four quarters. If we have that kind of jump in this quarter of GDP with everything else that's going on, I would certainly be comfortable with the conclusion that the market's not overvalued. Okay? If Atlanta
is
wrong, I'm out. Okay? I agree with you. But that's where I come out.
Okay, well, let's go to Doug in Iowa City, Iowa. He has a question I think is very relevant. Go ahead, Doug.
Oh, thank you, Tom, for taking my call, and Terry.
Sure.
Terry, you mentioned that the 10-year Treasury took a quite a jump Friday. And I was wondering, do you think that's because of the perception of the Fed raising rates, or why do you think that is?
Well, three things. And when I say a jump, it's a jump in yield. The value of those bonds went down, in fact, as the yield goes up. So there was more sellers and buyers going on. And that would be the circumstance here. I think it was driven by three things. Number one, the European Central Bank the day before punted, it's the only word to use for it, on whether they would add more stimulus to the European economy. Bother whether that stimulus is working or not. The fact that they said, nah, we're going to wait a while, discouraged some investors in equities because they thought that was they're looking for growth to fund dividends and to fund stock values. And when they see Europe not pushing for growth, they get worried, particularly about American multinational companies doing a lot of business and a lot of selling in Europe. Then it was followed by a legendary bond investor saying, you know, the value of bonds has peaked. Interest rates are going up from here. A fellow named Jeffrey Gundlach. That didn't exactly surprise the market. He's been saying that for a while, but his timing was interesting because on the same morning, the Federal Reserve bank head for the Boston region, Mr. Rosengren, said, you know, frankly, it's time we started raising interest rates because keeping them low for so long is creating risks in the financial markets that we need to get away from. Probably an inarguable statement, but when you make it 10 days before the Fed's about to make a decision and you've been known as someone who's maybe been kind of cool on the idea of raising rates, that shocked the market. So those three things really affected what happened to bonds because folks were saying, hey, look, interest rates are going to be going up, treasury rates go up, the value of the bonds goes down. And in terms of principal value to investors, and that's what moved the market.
Okay,
there you
thank
go.
You for that information.
Very good.
Do you think the rates can go up even without the Fed necessarily making moves? I guess you just explained that they can on the perception of what other people say, not just the Fed's action.
They are, and frankly, the debate right now is what the Fed's going to do. If I'm not so much if I'm right, but the Atlanta Fed's right, we get 3% GDP, which we'll know at the end of October. I think the case for the bank raising interest rates in December is a virtual certainty. I would think of myself the only thing that could stop that, if we're really growing at 3%, and if jobs stays cool and inflation, and yeah, you get a little bit of a creep up in it in terms of wages. The only thing could stop but would be a hung election like we had in 2000, where for quite a while there we didn't know if Bush or Gore had won. If we get into that circumstance and it carries on into December, I suspect the Fed will do nothing for the rest of the year until that's clarified. Otherwise, I'd be of a camp that says we're probably going to get a rate increase in December, and that's going to give the markets time to get used to it. Markets don't adjust that quickly. And when you start frightening them by saying, hey, in 10 days we're going to have a rate increase that nobody was expecting, markets get understandably volatile. So we got to clear that up. I think we're going to have a bumpy market until it's absolutely clear what the Fed's going to do next week.
Very good. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Doug, for your call. And what we're going to do is we're going to come back and take more calls from you. If you want to give us a call, the number to call is 1-800-934-2221. 1-800-934-2221. You're listening to Terry Conley, the former dean of the Golden Gate University School of Business and other many of his credentials. And we'll be back shortly. This is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
QL1, you've been talking a lot about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans lately. What would you say is the best reason to use it?
It's easy to use. You can get approved in minutes. It's convenient.
Hey, QL1, I asked for the best reason.
Oh, hold on. I wasn't finished. You can share your pay stubs and bank statements at the touch of a button, so you get real numbers, not estimates. And
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Geico presents a voicemail from your friend, Tree Branch.
Hi, it's me, Tree Branch. So, about the other night, look, it's no secret your roof and I never quite got along. It's a roof and I'm a branch, and that's how these things go. But I'm calling to say I'm really, truly sorry about what I did to your gutters and skylight. And also, I'm not paying for the damage. Okay, bye.
Trees never pay for roof damage. Luckily, one call to the Geico Insurance Agency makes it easy to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
Did you know the flu shot takes up to 2 weeks to take effect? That's why I'm getting my flu shot now, so I can outsmart the flu before there's an outbreak. At Walgreens, your flu shot even helps give a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Get a shot, give a shot. Doubly smart. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2017, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Learn more at walgreens.com/get a shot. Vaccine restrictions apply.
Geico. Not available in all states.
Whoa, what do you have there?
It's a Reese's Irvy's frozen yogurt. We just had our robot make one.
A robot made your frozen yogurt?
Yes, the world's first fully interactive robot vending machine that serves 9 flavors of delicious yogurt with 6 amazing toppings. And it's available for an exclusive franchise opportunity.
How do I get my own Reese's Irvy's robots?
It's easy, but you better act now. Locations and machines are going fast. Just go to froyofranchising.com and enter promo code 3030. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 3030.
What is it about buying a mattress that leaves you feeling violated? Pushy salespeople, fake sales, the walk of shame out of the mattress store? Those days are over. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, co-founder of Helix Sleep, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Shipping is free, and you have 100 nights to try it out. Go to helixsleep.com/talkradio and get $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
The following message is brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
The inherent right to work is one of the elemental privileges of a free people. Endowed, as our nation is, with abundant physical resources, and inspired as it should be, with the high purpose to make those resources and opportunities available for the enjoyment of all, we approach this problem of re-employment with the real hope of finding a better answer than we have now.
Your stuff can be more powerful than you think. Your stuff can be a resource for change. Donate to Goodwill, where your donations help fund job placement and training for people in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org.
This is Money Talk.
And we're back with Money Talk. Tom Bakar sitting in for Bob Brinker, who will be back next week with Terry Connolly on the phone, the former dean of Golden Gate University School of Business. And we have a call from Cindy in San Diego. Cindy, you are on the air.
Hi. I have a quick question. I have some money to invest, and I don't want to risk it in the market. And I was thinking either CD, which doesn't pay much, or bonds. And being that the interest rate may or may not go up, I was worried and just wanted to know your thoughts.
Well, I'm not an investment advisor, so I'm not about to offer that kind of specific advice on air or otherwise, but my sense would be what factors to look at here. And you're certainly right to point out the increased risk in the equity markets, perhaps a short-term period of volatility here. If you look at the picture that says the Fed is going to be raising interest rates, if you think about that, it could be that CD rates in the banks will begin a slow climb up from the levels that they've been at. And so you might want to think about at least the timing of the CD, whether it's how long a duration. Because if we're at the beginning, either now or, say, in December, of a new rate increase cycle, you might get better rates as time goes on. So I think that, obviously, when you're talking about the safety of insured deposits, you do want to look at what's going to happen to bank rates as they go forward. That being said, there is that LIBOR problem I mentioned earlier, where banks are having a little problem funding themselves on an overnight basis. But in the end, that shouldn't affect CD rates. CD rates will go up if general treasury rates go up, because the Fed takes rates up. And so that's what I'd be watching.
Thank you. And would I be able to ask you one other question really quick?
Sure. Go ahead.
What is your opinion about the international stock market if you are in it now?
Well, it kind of depends on where you are in the world. You can be in the international stock market in a sense by investing in American companies that do a lot of business abroad, or that are dependent on countries like China for their growth of some of their main product lines. Some people look at Apple that way, for example. On the other hand, you can be in a British pharmaceutical company because you like the idea, I'll just name GlaxoSmithKline, for example, that maybe they're going to do better because they sell their products abroad, and the weakening British pound may give them, because of Brexit, might give them an advantage. Or you could be talking about Brazil, for example, which has just gone through kind of a period of governmental change, and if it stabilizes, maybe some of their equities might recover. Where there, you'd have to look at how they do in selling goods to China. So there isn't, to me, there's not one international market. There's a lot of doors into the international market, and that can be with a plain old American company, or it can be with a foreign company that may enjoy an advantage.
That's a good point. Thank you very much. I appreciate you answering my question.
Sure.
And thank you for your call, Cindy. We really appreciate it. Let me ask you a question about something which you know very much about, because you are not just a man of money, but you're a man of education.
Don't overdo it on the money stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Turns out that the number of people entering college and graduating from college is down. And because of that, a lot of people are concerned about U.S. productivity. In 2011, according to the Census Bureau and National Student Clearinghouse, the growth of this is diminishing, and the reasons include an aging population, which we can understand, but rising tuition costs and a healthy rate of hiring that lessens the demand for learning. As a result, a lot of people are simply just not doing school because they can get hired, but if you go back and look at the record, among the most notable consequences of weaker college enrollment is lower wages. Higher education leads to better paying jobs. Graduates on average earn about 90% more than non-graduates, but only a third of the Americans actually still get degrees. Workforce quality, which along with technology helped American employers boost productivity in the 80s and 90s, now appears to be contributing to anemic efficiency gains that could continue. What I'm asking you about, Terry, is that if this is the case and fewer people are going to college and they're not getting those better jobs and all of that stuff, aren't we really making a big mistake as a nation going down the road in time that we're not encouraging this to the degree that we should be in order to keep the economy productive and innovative and all the other things?
Tom, you and I could spend an hour on this subject easily, and as it happens to try to continue to earn my title as a Dean Emeritus, I'm actually working on a book on the subject of college admissions and the direction of college education in this country. When we talk about productivity, though, we can't just focus on the college scene. There's been a decline in business investment, including in technology, and that has hurt productivity. And the Federal Reserve is very concerned about that. And if you look at the economy overall, one of the big retarding factors on GDP, as I mentioned, for the last 12 months, has been a lack of business investment. Business has been doing a lot of hiring because they've been, if you hire somebody, most people are employees at will. You can let them go. But if you buy a new machine, it's going to be with you a while. It's going to take you years to depreciate it. And so business has been considerably risk averse lately, and that has hurt productivity. And the Fed is one of the factors they're taking into consideration is maybe there's some linkage between business non-investment and these low interest rates, even though it was supposed to be the other way around. As far as college is concerned, we've been living in the past mythology for quite a while. You have to realize right now that college enrollment down because people are finding jobs, and they've been, particularly at the younger side, have been delighted to get them. And we see that kind of cyclicality in the economy from time to time. But, you know, right now, if you start college, you know, it's going to be 55% of that group that starts that might finish in 6 years. The old idea, oh, you go away to college for 4 years, find me that. That just doesn't happen as much as we think it does anymore. And, you know, the whole story of college isn't told by turning on the college football games and seeing the kids in the stands. They're let's say, the lucky ones. Most people aren't in that circumstance even when they're going to college. And barely over half of the people who start college are finishing. That's part of the problem. Part of that problem is economic and the cost of tuition. Part of that has to do with how hard it is to get into college today in the first place and looking at the burden of loans. And there's nobody's found as yet a good solution. How do we do this in a way that people, particularly the middle class, can afford college? Because the middle class right now is being priced out.
But what about the colleges themselves? I mean, a lot of colleges still remain on this, you know, 9 months out of the year, and then they're, you know, essentially closed for 3 months or, you know, in very, yeah, very stasis almost. Whereas I know the one that you were in charge of is 12-month a year school. Is that model dying, the 9-month college model?
Well, I think it's being pushed and pressurized at all sorts of levels, particularly through online learning, which can occur at any time, not only of the year, at any time of the day. And we certainly at Golden Gate fully integrated our online offerings with our in-person offerings, so people could adjust college to their life. In terms of work life, family life, instead of the other way around. And that's particularly important for adults wanting to finish undergraduate degrees or to pursue graduate degrees, which are becoming the gold standards in their profession. But we've got a much broader problem of access right now just than the timing. And yes, if we could develop a way to have a full-time schedule on a year-round basis from the teaching side, we could significantly cut the cost of college because we could shorten that six-year span that college has now, frankly, on average, become.
Where does it go, though? And what I mean by that is that if you don't have people with degrees and with even higher degrees coming out of your own universities, don't you have down the road, and this affects everybody's 401k and this affects everybody's, you know, potential for retirement and everything else, if we don't have people to backfill for the people that are retiring, what happens to the economy? Is it that we just look outside of the country and allow more people to come in, or is it that we really need to get more Americans interested one way or another in going to college?
Well, actually, what we need to get, it probably, if that happens, is more Americans, in the sense that we've got 5 million jobs a month, pretty darn steadily now, since we've had a baseline recoveries after the Great Recession. 5 million jobs a month going begging because we don't have people qualified to take them. That's just fact. And when you move into that fact, we've got to find a way to deal with that. And what we've seen is we probably have 80 different job retraining programs for people who have been displaced by technology, displaced by outsourcing, et cetera, or just never got the degrees in the first place. We've got to solve that problem, and these programs of retraining, particularly for folks in their late 50s and early 50s. So we have a lot of issues to deal with there, and then it will also lead to programs like Social Security that depend on having a workforce in place to pay for the folks, increasing number of folks that are retiring. So on the next president's plate, I don't care what they're talking about in the campaign, these are the kind of issues that that we have to be addressing, and the next president in 4 or 8 years is going to have to be addressing. Otherwise, we're going to get used to this low-growth 1% to 2% environment, and the folks who are saying, hey, we're going to look like Japan in a few years, mm-hmm. will turn out to be more right than wrong. Right now, it's just kind of a scare tactic in the markets, but the numbers tell you that it's a real issue coming right around the corner.
You've been listening to Terry Conley, the former dean of the Golden Gate University School of Business. He is a terrific guy. You'll hear from him again in other shows that I do because he's such a wealth of information. Coming up in the next hour, Ralph McLaughlin, the chief economist for Trulia, one of the real estate services that can tell you what your home's worth or what it might be worth and what's going on in the market. My name is Tom Bakar. Bob Brinker will be back next week doing the thing that he always does. But until then, for the next hour, it'll be me and you, and I appreciate it. The number to call, 1-800-934-2221. Thank you, Terry. This is Money Talk.